Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number... God damn, we've been doing this a long fucking time.
227.
Yeah. That's it, 227. Today we are going to be talking about our gaming ruts. And before that, we're going to talk about distractions and news. Afterwards, we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. You would think after 226 episodes, I would know how this fucking show goes. Before that, let's go around the table, see how everybody's doing. Jeff, you start.
I'm good. I'm okay. Had fun times. Went to a wedding last week. Went to work. Work sucked. Back here. Doing my thing. Let's do this. Travis, what are you up to?
That was quite a tale. Quite a journey you took us on. nice and quick. How I like it. Now, I got a little story to tell. I think I told Jeff. I don't know if I told Chris. But back in high school and a couple of years after that, I used to do independent professional wrestling. And... that was, and of course, I mean, I only have a couple of pictures to show, but it is true. Yeah, I used to be a big swole wrestler. But
so you're a professional, you're getting paid for it?
Yeah, we got paid for it. I mean,
really?
we weren't getting paid like $200-$300 a match. I mean, it was like $30-$40 here, but I mean, it basically paid for our gas to get to the venue and stuff like that. Yeah, so I mean, it was cool. It was fun. It was more of a hobby than anything. But we did it for quite a few years, and a couple of little, you know, different little federations. But
and it worked well with your theater background as well.
Yes, it did. Yeah, big time. Because there is quite a mini theatric going on.
Yeah, male soap opera and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, the good old squared circle. So we were. So I was on Facebook today. My one Facebook visit this week, and it ended up turning into a barrage of Facebook. I mean, I've never been on Facebook more than 5 minutes ever, yeah. Ever. And I was probably on Facebook the last 2 hours going through this. But anyway, it started out sad. We found out an older guy. He was one of the managers of one of the tag teams and everything. But he was well-known and everything throughout, you know, a couple of the little independent federations around the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And we found out that he passed away yesterday. So it was a little sad and everything. But somebody had the brilliant idea in one of the pictures of the guy that was that passed away, they tagged each and every one's the girl Jolene. She tagged each and every one's of the people that she remembers from King Style Wrestling on the picture. So we all were linked to that picture, even though none of us were really in it. And one of us got the brilliant idea to say, you know, we should make like a web page or a Facebook group and everything. And I was like, well, let's do a Facebook group right now. So I went ahead and started it. I administered it, and like, not even 10 minutes later, there were like 25 people in this Facebook group already. Mm-hmm. Like just like that, and it was all people that I have not seen since like 2002.
Oh, wow.
Just an amazing journey. And just the last 2 hours, we were just sitting back and just laughing and joking and talking. And so it's really cool. And you see this a lot, like when someone like passes away, there's always a big chance of like people coming together and then, talking about the good old days. And I gotta say, man, I've had the best time. The last couple of hours just now, just talking to some old friends, people I haven't talked to in a long time, just catching up, talking about a whole bunch of cool stuff. Because we did a lot of cool things in this in wrestling organization, you know, and it was very independent. So, you know, on average, we would pull maybe 100, 120 people on average. Not a huge show at a lot, but 100 people wanted to come see us, you know, fake fight, and it was fun.
Yeah.
So we got a call from the local a local radio station, it was a local rock station, and they did something called CPR Fest. It was, the name of the radio station was WCPR 97.9. It's the rock station on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and they ended up calling us, King Style Wrestling, and they were like, "Okay, we're doing CPR Fest 4," and this is like in 2000 at this time, and CPR Fest, Chris, is kind of like a picture Music Midtown here in Atlanta, but just not a whole bunch of music and like a whole different genres. It's more or less just rock and roll.
Okay.
So it draws in about 8,000 to 10,000 people the entire weekend. Okay. So it's nowhere near as big as Music Midtown or any other big musical.
It's more like Lollapalooza or something like that.
Yeah, very similar to that. So they did this thing where it was a 2-day thing and people could camp out overnight on the grounds of the Coliseum. So it was real fun. But they CPR Fest invited us, King Style Wrestling, to go set up our wrestling ring in the middle of the where a lot of the crowd walks through, and in between bands, while bands were setting up, so in between bands we would put on like a 30-minute wrestle. So we wrestled all day long in front of thousands of people, and it was amazing. So all of us who always had these dreams of, like, you know, being in the WWE or doing all this crazy stuff, we all got
had that dream for a day.
We all got a taste of it, and it was one of the coolest things. And we've been talking about that on the Facebook group quite a bit, and just having a blast with it, man. It's just, man, just sitting there and talking to people you haven't talked to in a decade. It's magical, and the whole time you're just talking about family, you're talking about all this good stuff. It's just fun, man. So that was pretty much my week. Was the last 2 hours up until recording and everything. I had nothing to talk about up until the last 2 hours. So, yeah, good. It was a good night. It was a really good night. Hopefully, it'll get even better just by talking to you, gents. So, Chris,
yo,
what's up, dude?
Not much, man. The 3 days in a row of podcasting is over. last week it was like I did the gauntlet. We talked about Mass Effect. I did the show on Thursday with you guys, and we did the Mass Effect special on Friday, which was a blast and has now been posted, along with Nate's Mass Effect 3 review, which is a Shining review, so go check that out. That was a blast, and I'm glad that it's gone, because I like having one day a week for podcasting, because, you know, then I get to play games instead of talk about them all the time. But besides that, you know, it's been work and more work, you know, trying to get ready for Elora to come into our lives. And
Elora.
Yes.
I predict she will be a master of pyromancy by age 2.
Okay. Is there a reference to a movie there, or is that
no? Just Elora just sounds very, like, very mythical and high fantasy. So, like, I'm thinking like pyromancy, okay. maybe alchemy.
I did get it from a fantasy movie.
Yeah. Well, I'm seeing maybe like mixing some concoctions with like baby formulas and stuff like that, making different.
She's the future Empress of Tir Sleen.
I love it.
I hope someone out there gets that reference.
I don't get it. I love it, regardless.
One of the few movies that, outside of Star Wars and Indiana Jones, that came from a Lucas camp that was good. Yeah. So, but yeah, so we're getting ready for that. And I mean, you know, that's pretty much it. Went to a Force game last week. That was, you know, not really interesting for most people. And
no.
Yeah, that's about it. But I have been playing games besides Mass Effect, so let's get to some of that.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me? We'll get to it later.
Does he always go to
you want me to go first?
Unless it's something that we've all played and we all going to pitch in. If something's just you played, then go for it.
Let's mix it up.
All right, I'll go first. All right, so...
Or we should talk Mass Effect, because I got some stuff to play.
We'll talk Mass Effect, too, because I did play some Mass Effect. And we'll probably get to that first. But let's start out with my day on Tuesday. So Tuesday...
You woke up. You got up.
I got up and went to work. I came home.
Scratched your face like you need to shave.
Farted really loud. And, you know, first thing that came to my mind was Fat Guy Podcast. And, I got, after Crystal went to bed, I you know, booted up my PC. I went to start Witcher 2. And it said, now downloading, enhanced edition, 12 gigs. It'll take 3 hours. I'm like,
it's a fatty. Yeah.
Well, fuck. So while that was downloaded, I played Mass Effect 3. So I got to the point where you do the whole thing with the Quarians and the Geth, and that's where I'm at right now.
That's where I just finished that stuff. Now, right, you guys already beat it, guys. I got some beefs with this game, and I got some really fucking shit that's really awesome in this game. Because you do a decision. You have to make a decision during that whole thing. That I literally took 20 minutes to decide.
You and everybody else who played the fucking game, dude.
And I've never done that before in a video game. Like, I've been like, this is this. But I'm like, no big deal. Who cares? It's a video game. And after I made that decision... Okay, this is what happened. I got to the decision, and I was like, okay, well, fuck, what do I do? So I paused it. Like, when I first smoked, I'm sitting there contemplating. I'm like, okay.
On your porch smoking a cigarette, just like
rocking
thinking about
back and forth.
What the hell do I do? It's like,
okay.
Tally, Legion, you know?
I'm like, okay, because I go back and I'm like, that's kind of spoilers, but. A little bit. You might want to cut
it. Not really. Quarians and Geth. I mean, if you have those two people from Mass Effect 2, come on.
People are smart. They can put two and two together and they'll be able to. Trust me, you'll get shit for that. But anyway. So I went back in, I'm like, all right, I got this. I make my decision. And then, of course, it does, like, another conversation bit. where they obviously, then they come to a point where they obviously give you a chance to take back your decision and change it or keep the one you already have. So that made me go, fuck. So I pause it. And then I'm just sitting there, I'm like, what do I do? What do I do?
I went through the same thing this time.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, I'm not going on the internet to find out what happens each way. And I'm like, I know Mass Effect and the way that it's designed, there's got to be a way to pick something and have everything work out. But I'm like, I don't want to take a chance because this is 3, and too much shit might be based on what I did in 1 and 2. So I'm not going to do it. So I made my decision.
Right.
And even though I like the decision I made, I will say for about 10 minutes after, I did feel like a giant asshole.
Yeah.
I was
and there's really no way around that, dude.
The game's never made me feel that way, ever. Like, I'm like I've like, you know, felt emotional playing games like that, but not to the point where it's like, why do I care about these characters that are in this video game that aren't real?
Because they're so well-developed.
I know.
So well-developed. I mean, that is the one thing that I can say about the Mass Effect series, is that the characters are so well-developed, and BioWare does such a good job of making you either love or hate these characters. Well, except for Vega, because no one really gives a shit about Vega.
It's not much less the characters, too. They did something cool that and especially in that situation that we're talking about specifically, you know, it's not rare to see a game like really make you care for a character or like, okay, yeah, I have to make a choice, or just not even making choices, just straight up caring about a character in a video game. That's not a rare thing. We're seeing that more and more, which is fantastic.
We are. But
what BioWare did that was really, really cool, you actually care for an entire species of living or whatever you call them, organisms and everything. Like, you actually give a shit about not just the characters of that species, but their entire species. You're making a call, choosing between certain, you know, factions of civilization, and you give a shit about them, not just the characters. And that's something that's pretty rare. You don't see too much in video games.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. I was like, wow, I'm making a call on millions of beings, which is, you know, it affects millions of people. So I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, so after I finished that part, I sent an email to our little Mass Effect thread, and I know what Glenn's outcome was. I knew what it was before, and I got
How did you know what it was before? Did you read up on shit beforehand?
No. I mean, I know what Glenn's was. I knew what his was before.
Okay.
Because he actually got to that point before me, and he kind of sort of spoiled it in a way. I mean, he kind of made me much more careful about it when I got there. So I knew what happened with him, and I got the better result. And going my Renegade playthrough, I still got the better result. And when I emailed and said, so I got this and this, and he basically responded back and said, dick or something like that. I can't remember.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, how did we're gonna talk on break on how you got a good result? Because I think you told me in a thread this. You're the one who told me that.
Yeah,
you'd
I did.
Have it both work out, but I don't see how that could happen if you did one way and one the other. Because I don't know.
We'll talk about it on break.
But anyway,
we'll talk about it on break.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so you know, we're both really close to the end of the game. There's only like a handful of missions left. I know you said you had some side missions to do.
Yeah, I'm gonna get caught up. I'm not gonna go extend the story mode till I get through about like half the things I have.
Have you been doing all the N7 ones when they came up?
I've did a couple of them.
Okay.
See, this is what I'm worried about now, because like you have.
I'm gonna fall out of it.
Well, not that's your fault falling out of it and everything. Because I mean, you're gonna finish the game, I'm pretty sure. But you said in a chat box just now, you said that you were 13, 14 hours in, maybe?
I think I'm 13 and some change.
And you're already at the Geth and Quarians. My question is, are you speeding through this game so fast that you're missing a lot of big-time missions that will ultimately affect your end game?
Well, maybe. This is where I'm getting to. This is what I hate about the fucking game, is that a lot of those side missions, you don't even know you fucking have unless you go to your journal. And you just pick them up randomly. Like, one time I had, like, 3 things in my quest log. And then I'm doing some shit, and then I go in my quest log. I'm like, "What the fuck? There's like 20 things now."
A lot of that stuff is Citadel shit that you pick up.
Yeah,
and you know that's a big point of contention for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But anything that's an actual mission, when you go to the galaxy map,
it's
will have
on the
like,
map.
It's on the map. It actually shows.
So should I just stick to that shit for the most part?
Yeah, for the most part.
I'm just like, I don't like the way that missions are given. Like, it's just like, they don't really go into detail why you're doing it. Like, you'll talk to somebody, like, even one of your, like, squad mates, they'll be like, oh, can you talk to me for a second? And then all of a sudden it'll be like, it'll pop on your screen. It doesn't necessarily even say mission, it'll say something added to your journal.
Right.
Then I'm just like, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing again? Like, I don't know. It just seems like there's no... It just seems like a weird, like an arbitrary way to keep track of quests and to point you in the right direction compared to like any other RPG that's ever been made.
Yeah, it's not well handled. It could have been done better, especially when, you know, there's a situation that it's like, oh, go retrieve this. We're looking for this. And a lot of times you don't even know if you've picked up that item or not.
Yeah.
You know, the only way you know is when you go onto the Citadel and you can look at the map, and the map will actually have that person's name listed, and you can go over and talk to them and you know that you've got it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not handled very well. They could have done better with that part, but you know, overall, it was kind of a nitpick in a lot of cases. I mean, a lot of people hate it.
It's definitely a nitpicking, but to me, it's more of an it's because I'm not a really big RPG guy,
right?
So that kind of stuff I want to streamline as much as possible.
Yeah,
so
I understand. Totally.
I'm just like, oh my god. But I mean, it's still like now that you told me that, okay, just kind of avoid. Like, I haven't found anything when you scan planets. I haven't found a damn thing. I'm like, why am I even doing this anymore? Like every single, I try to scan.
Why are you scanning planets?
I don't know what you're supposed to.
No, you scan the galaxy.
Well, doesn't only go as far as the rings go? Then you kind of gotta move and do
another
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Oh, so you don't have to be out on an actual planet.
No, yeah, no. You could be in the middle of the universe and just hit L trigger, the left trigger, and it'll scan.
Oh shit! I know it would scan. I just figured you'd find nothing. I thought you had to find some specifically on planets.
No, you don't actually scan planets until Edie says, "I found something," and then you actually go to that planet that she's highlighted
for
you.
Okay, yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. But everything you find is on a planet, though.
No, there's some stuff in the middle of space, but usually it's just fuel, and that becomes important because. Unlike Mass Effect 2, where there's a fuel depot in every system with a mass relay, that's not the case in Mass Effect 3. You can actually go to a system that has a mass relay without a fuel depot. So you have to, you know, when you go from solar system to solar system, you scan the solar system and there'll be just like this random point, oh, I found something, and it'll be in the middle of nowhere, and it'll be like wreckage of a ship, and it'll actually give you fuel from the wreckage, and that helps you get through the actual the nebula or wherever you are.
Okay. Also, do you spend credits on anything? I haven't found myself buying anything or a need to buy anything.
I spent credits on attachments. Modifiers for the weapons.
Yeah, kind of for the weapons.
And I bought
upgrading weapons.
I spent credits on a fish feeder.
Yeah, there's the fish thing too. But yeah, you upgrade your weapons down in the shuttle bay too. So
yeah, I figured all that stuff out. But I'm like, so I need to like upgrade my ship now, like the second one. I'm looking for a place to do that. I'm like, I'm getting all these credits. I'm not buying.
Actually, upgrading the ship happens a little differently because if there needs to be an upgrade. The person in charge of that area will tell you about it.
Yeah,
right. Like Adams will come up to you and say, hey, I need this part.
Yeah.
And, you know, can you go find it on the Citadel for me? And then you go to a store on the Citadel and you buy it.
Now, will that come up on your points of reference, like, or not points of reference, points of interest on your map then? Or do I have to actually literally see?
No, you have to go to the stores. You have to go to the different stores. But all the stores are on the Presidium, and except for the Spectre one, which is in the embassies. And there's, let me think, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think.
Hmm.
Oh, and there's one in the docks, the refugee docks.
Okay.
There's a store there, too.
All right.
So.
That's it. That's all the main concerns I had with it, because it's kind of like, there's some shit I'm not finding. I'm like, it's just, I don't know. But yeah, but some of the story, like, beats that have happened lately, I've just been like, fuck.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, the one thing that they improved two major things in this game for me. Number one is the combat in general, I think, feels a lot smoother.
Yeah.
And number two...
I still don't like the combat, but yeah, it's decent. I don't know. I have a lot of problems with the cover, the sticky cover.
Oh, yeah, the cover's annoying at times, but, like, the shooting is better,
overall,
the movement is better,
yeah.
The how fast the powers get kicked off is better. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and now you can roll. So they've made this, like... An above average third person shooter with like powers, you know, it's still not near like Gears, but I would say it's on par, if not better than like Uncharted 3. So,
I don't know if I'd say that, but yeah.
Yeah. What was I saying? Oh, and the other thing is that like the actual storyline is just incredibly gripping, and it's not like
it is now for me.
Yeah, and it's not like in two it was really gripping, but the parts that got real gripping was at the end. You know, it was, you know, a good steady pace, you know, a good steady rise, and you know, got your interest. And then at the end, there was this huge climax, and that's where it all ended. And this right. one, it's like, it's shooting, like, these huge storyline decisions at you, and you have to really just stop and be like, what the fuck's going on? And you have to yep. think about it. And I think it does that better than any I'd game that I can think of off the top of my head.
Anything at all.
Yeah. So.
Cool.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, so yesterday, after The Witcher got patched, I started playing that a bit.
Yeah.
I haven't really gotten into it that much.
Oh, Lord knows I did.
Oh, did you? So what do you think so far?
Okay, first hour or two. Well, first hour. Let's go with the first hour. I'm playing it. And the first thing I think to myself is when I'm messing around with the camera and the combat, I'm like, wow, I don't know if I like this game that much. The combat just did not grab me at first, and I thought it felt a little stiff and clunky.
Yeah, I wanted like a lock-on button where he would like strafe around and stay looking at him.
Well, there is that on the console version. The left trigger on the console version is a lock-on, so you can strafe around and circle enemies if you want to. But I never use that because I find myself getting my ass handed to me on many occasions. So I find myself running in circles until my health regenerates or like doing some spells behind me, so I can start doing some chip damage if I'm a little too overwhelmed by guys. That is a honest to God strategy in Witcher 2, because I've been thinking, am I playing this wrong? And when I'm looking around, I'm noticing that people are kind of doing the same strategy. So this is kind of a Witcher thing. So into hour two, I started to get my footing a little more. When I'm doing a couple of side missions here and there, once I dropped into chapter one, I was starting to get my feel for it. And about 8 hours later, because I was off on Tuesday, I asked off so I can have all day to play. I have all day to play the game. And I'm in love with it. The controls have gotten better. Actually, there was an option that helped me out there, for the horizontal turning using the right stick. Hey, welcome back. Yep. For the right stick, there was a option there called like auto scrolling, and I noticed like why when I just tap the right stick just to move my camera, it's like shifting drastically. Like, why is this happening? So I looked into my options, and there was an option that said auto scrolling. So I removed that, and I was able to have complete control over the camera. So that fixed that, which kind of confused me why the drastic movements and everything were kind of a default setting. But I fixed it. It's better there.
Yeah, you need to have it controlling it.
Yeah, and the combat just completely grew on me. Once you really start using like your traps,
once you open up stuff, that's when it starts to become
the game. Yes, good. Opens up really, really quickly. And I will say the people who, because I've been reading online, like a lot of people just don't get into it. They don't give it a good like 3-4 hours just to kind of like just embrace the game. But I gotta say that game easily has a 2-hour learning curve. I would say tops, two-hour learning curve. But what really helps with that game while you're learning it is that, A, it's beautiful, even on the console version.
How does it look on 360?
Like I've seen it running on maximum on settings.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just doesn't hold a candle to the PC.
Of course. Yeah.
But the game is easily one of the best-looking games that I've ever seen. I'm talking like borderline Uncharted. Like, you know, those moments, there's a couple of sightseeing areas where, like, you just stand over a cliff and you can just look across the countryside that they made.
My favorite scene or my favorite thing to show to people in that game when they come over and they're like, oh, Witcher 2, like show me your new PC,
right.
is the scene, it's during the tutorial stages when, it's when you're in bed with Triss, the first time you see boobies.
Yeah.
And then it finally gives you control of the character, and you're inside the tent, and it's all bright outside, and you walk out, and it's kind of like a flare, and then it all kind of settles down, and you can see like the entire area.
That's the first time that when I stepped out, I was like, wow, that is a gorgeous fucking game. Now, there are some more technical issues with it. I ran into a really, really bad bug in the dungeon area when you get control when you're you know in the dungeon. I was there's a situation where, and this is not a spoiler, there's a situation where you're trying to sneak through the dungeon without being seen, and then when you pass by this this prisoner that's in a cell, he starts like screaming, guards, the witcher's out. So I'm like, okay, well, you can walk toward a guy and there's a button press that says, you know, quiet the prisoner. So I hit it, And you push the prisoner back, so he falls on his ass. And then the next thing I know, I can't move my character. I can move the camera, but I can't move my character. He's kind of like not stuck in the gate, but he's like stuck in front of the prison bars. And I'm like, so the next thing I know, I'm surrounded by like three or four different dudes. Guards. I'm like, holy shit, I'm just standing here. And the next thing I know, when I'm moving the camera, I start hitting some buttons to try to like unjar me from from the environment. And the next thing I know, I hear my swinging. I hear my swingings connecting, and I can see the guys getting attacked. I can see them falling to the ground dead, and my guy's just standing there. But yet I'm controlling the character. I'm swinging away, and I end up killing everybody with my guy just standing there, not doing any motions. It was weird.
Nice.
So I had to reload that save because I just couldn't get out of that. And there are, I mean, graphically, yeah, during the cutscenes, like screen tearing is pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that too.
Screen tearing, it's pretty bad. I installed the discs. I installed both discs like right away, and there's still a little bit of texture pop in. Not terribly bad, but enough to.
Yeah,
notice.
I heard it's not like Skyrim bad or anything like that. It's like more like Crysis 2 bad.
It's kind of like the texture pop in with Crysis 2, but it's not much less like textures with characters. I mean, because that's there, you'll see a little bit of texture. Yeah. The background stuff's really really bad. I'm talking like when you're walking through a forest, you'll see the texture pop in like 10 feet in front of you.
Yeah, that's like Crysis 2.
Really really takes me out of the game a little bit because the game's gorgeous. When you stand still and you're not moving and you're looking around, the game is it's hot,
got really
man.
Great lighting. That's what blows me away in that game.
And the lighting is really really good, and I give it that. Yeah. But on the console version, it's crazy aliased.
Oh, is it really?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
it's pretty aliased.
And that's normal for console shadowing though in a lot of cases anyway.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is like a game that like this is probably one of the first games that came out that I was like, holy fuck, consoles need an upgrade. So the fact that it's even they got it running. You know, pretty well, because I'm pretty sure it's pretty high. Like the frame rate doesn't drop too much, right?
The frame rate itself, I've had one instance where okay, this is ironic too. I have had one instance. It was a one-on-one fight where I was not Geralt. It was a one-on-one fight, and I was not Geralt. It was another scene with other people. And there was some serious like frame rate dropping there, but I don't know if the disc was just trying to load or something like that. But then maybe like, and this is somewhere around chapter 2, and then after chapter 2 really kicks off, you're in this area where there's like a big battle going on, and in this battle, the frame rate was smooth as hell, and all around you, there's easily 50 people on screen at the same time. And the game ran like butter.
Yeah.
So it was odd that one-on-one fight was just really, really rough and the really frame rate dropped. And then, this big battle scene, and it was smooth. So it's some interesting technical things going on there. But regardless, this is a super, super, super polished game. Yeah. You know, all those technical things aside, man. And what really amazed me about this game, you know, people talk about, you know, what they like better, linear versus non-linear games. And, you know, when you talk non-linear games, you're talking games that are more like, you know, Grand Theft Auto or Skyrim. And all those games have in common is that they're sandbox games. So that's kind of the thing. If you want non-linear, you play a sandbox game. I've never seen a video game that generally, I mean, when you really look at it, Witcher is a linear action RPG. At its core, it is a...
At its core, it is.
At its core, it is a linear RPG. There is no open world. There are big open expanses in the linear stage that is set for you.
It's more like Kingdoms of Amalur than anything. It's like there's big
place
that you can fight.
Well, I mean, like, Kingdoms of Amalur, you can still travel anywhere you want to go. So
True, you're still within certain things.
Yeah, I still believe that at its core, Witcher 2 is a linear game. But they do such a good job at giving you full freedom of the way you want to shape your story that I've never seen a linear RPG do. I've never seen that. Like I would equate it more like to a Fable.
I would equate it to fucking like a Dragon Age or Mass Effect.
Especially like Dragon Age 2.
Yeah, like not Mass, because Mass Effect you're literally kind of like levels that you can go anywhere that you've already kind of unlocked or whatever, but it's like more like that, because it's not linear really at all. Because I see what you're saying. It's linear in the way the fact that they put you in certain areas and you're confined to those areas. Actually, I'm pretty sure you can still go back to areas you've been to.
I've never been able to do that yet.
You can do it, just there's no reason to, unless you like want to go back and maybe finish up some missions or something like that. Right. See, you can take the boat back to
because,
the first area.
See, I didn't know that because...
Well, what area are you in right now?
I'm in chapter two, so
okay,
I'm...
Okay, so you can't do it yet because you can't... The first area is like the tutorial. That's like kind of like catching you up on what's happening. Mm-hmm. Then you go to the first area. Then once you're in the second area, I'm like 99% sure you can go back to the first area.
Okay.
But you can't walk there. You get to a point where it's like you're taking a ship and it's like loading screen. Then you're in this area.
Right,
it's not like
okay.
You can walk there.
Well, see, I don't know why I would do that, though, because once I got to a certain point, once I got to the final battle in Chapter 1, it automatically failed all of my other missions that I had in my quest log.
Yeah, it will.
So there's no point.
That's what I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't think there's a reason to go back. I just think you can if you want to.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
And props to CD Projekt Red. They did something else that was really, really neat. During Skyrim's development, and I heard this quote 1,000 times because they played this interview at Todd Howard at least every 30 minutes at GameStop when I'm working there, when Skyrim was coming out to kind of build up the hype. Todd Howard always talked about this dynamic like storytelling that they had going on, and he specifically says there's certain characters, if you kill someone's brother, the other person's brother will come and they will try to find you and, you know, to seek revenge for the person that you just randomly killed because they're related to him. And I never saw that once.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Never saw that once. And that was just something that maybe like one character you can do that and the person will come after you. I felt that Bethesda did a better job in Fallout 3 with the dynamic storyline. Because if you did certain things, like if you destroyed, was it Nuketown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People from Nuketown would, like, you know, survivors would come and hunt you down and everything. They did that dynamic storytelling a little bit better personally in Fallout than I did in Skyrim. But Witcher 2, like, blows me away that, you know, I'll make a small, minute, very, very small decision. Because in Fallout 3, you destroy a town and people come after you. But I made a small, small decision. I think I ratted out a drunk. And the next thing I know, all of his friends are on my shit list. And I have a quest right now that talks about that. And because when you look at your quest, everything has a goal. And the goal says, wait to see what unfolds. And I'm like, well, we'll see what happens there. Like,
I know exactly where you are, the wait to unfold one. So I can tell you which decision you made at the end of Chapter 2. You're at the end of Chapter 2?
I'm actually close to the end of Chapter 2,
Of Chapter 2, okay.
Yeah. Like I said, I played all day Tuesday. But, man, that game is fantastic. They're doing a lot of cool things. And I do want to talk about the world. I don't even know the world itself. Like, what I like about it is, like, a lot of, you know, high fantasy games, like, you know, well, let's go back to Game of Thrones. When you watch Game of Thrones, like, on HBO, that is a dirty, sad, really kind of a scary,
it's
haunting
world. It's the opposite
world.
Of Lord of the Rings.
It's the opposite of Lord of the Rings.
Like, happy place, happy. The Witcher is, like, more like Game of Thrones. It's, like, kind
of it's
grungy.
It's very much
and dirty
like Game of Thrones. And Dragon Age 2 tried to do that, like, show you, like, how a lot of cities have these slums, and that's where, like, the mages lived and everything. And you never, I mean, except for a couple of instances, you never really get a feel of, wow, this is just a shitty place. Like, I never felt that when I was playing Dragon Age 2 or 1. And man, it's almost every single place that I go. I mean, the men are horrible. They're pigs. They're always talking about plowing women and drinking beer, and it's just nothing like that. Like, it's just a
very
dirty,
gray,
dirty place.
There's no black and white in the game. It's just very, it's gray area. Your decisions you make aren't necessarily spelled out for you. You don't know exactly if you're helping a good guy or a bad guy, because there's not really such a thing as a good guy or a bad guy in that
game. No, I mean, it's a pretty dirty world, and I love that about this game. Like, they're not afraid, and a lot of people go for this, like, mature dark fantasy thing just by throwing a couple of curse words in here, but, like, the way that people talk, and they're so nasty, and they're so dirty with their language, it's very organic. And they did a great job with the script writing and the voice acting to really convey just what kind of a nasty world this is. And I really appreciate that. This is one of my favorite, not even just in the high fantasy genre, this is just one of my favorite like in-game worlds of any video game I've ever played. It's a fascinating world. Yeah, I like it a lot.
I think I'm going to double dip in it. I think I'm going to get the 360 version.
I love playing this with the controller.
You can play a controller. You can play with a controller on
the controller.
Yeah, but I can't play it on my computer. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have played it with a controller.
I want to play it with, like, surround sound and have, like, it just... Because even though, like, computer could run it, PCs always have weird things. I'd be playing and something would happen or something would pop up on the screen. I'm like, oh, I gotta walk over to the keyboard. And like, I mean, I don't want to buy like a wireless keyboard and mouse to just so I can like do other shit when I'm playing it. So even though I did get close to the very, like I got to the very end of the game, I want to play it through again because you make decisions in that game where you won't even see characters or sections of the entire game. So it's not like Mass Effect where the outcome will just be different. This actually wipes out areas of the game you'll just never see based on your decisions. And there's one especially you make at the end of Chapter 2 that I want to do the opposite, because that basically makes the entire last, like, third and a half, I guess, or it gets, like, two quarters of the game totally different. So, and I don't want to necessarily do that sitting in my chair on my PC again.
Right.
Yeah, so. I guess the biggest disadvantage I'm having right now playing it on my new PC is that, man... I wish that they would give you the option in PC games to change the font size and to change,
yeah,
like, the HUD.
That's another issue.
Like, the HUD size. Because I'm playing in 1080p, and it looks awesome! Except that, yeah, I can't see anything
can't
on my
anything.
HUD. It's like, yeah, you know, and some of the text is so small. And this is a big problem with Star Wars, actually, when I'm playing that, is that, yeah, I just cannot read the text because it's so damn small. Well, yeah, same problem with this, but it's more about the HUD than it is about the text in this game.
Yeah, and it's really important at the beginning when they're trying to teach you everything.
Yeah, definitely.
And that was the important thing. Like, hopefully they fix that, because I know, like, I'm sure you guys can tell me, but in the original version, they'd pop up something, like a tutorial. It'd be up there for literally, like, 5 seconds, and you're in the middle of a battle, so you're like, I don't want to look away from the battle because I'm going to get killed, because it's so easy to die in that game. Then you miss what it shows, and that's the only time they show it.
Yeah, they did a better job with it, because now there's an actual tutorial section that you can, yeah, go through, and you can hit select, and it pops up, or back, and it pops up the, it, like, it'll show you a tutorial window, and when you, yeah, remove it, if you hit back, it'll pop it up again.
Okay.
So they changed all that around,
yeah, they
too.
Yeah, need that. A lot of people, like, I knew people who didn't even know the difference between the silver sword and the regular sword.
Yeah, I don't know the difference.
It's the silver sword you use on creatures, the,
okay,
regular sword you use on humans.
That's, yeah, kind of what I thought.
And it makes a huge difference.
That's kind of what I thought.
And they literally, yeah, throw that up there, like, for, like, the only reason I knew that is listening to podcasts and watching reviews when they mentioned it. Like, I would have never learned that from actually playing the game the first time through.
Yeah, I kind of got that. But I was,
yeah,
for me, it was more along the lines that I was looking for, like, undead. Like,
yeah, yeah,
humans,
exactly,
and undead.
It's basically creatures and humans for
the,
right, most part.
The one thing I will say is that, man, some of that menu system is, like, super convoluted.
Yeah,
it's,
that, especially
that
when it comes
gets,
to...
It
that
is
gets better.
Crazy, does it? I mean, because it's
gets
like,
better.
All right, so why do I have to, like, pull up a menu and then go into meditate mode and then pull up
you
another
don't...
menu and then use,
well,
a potion?
No.
They
you
took
should...
that out of the console one, didn't they?
No, yeah, in the console version, the left bumper, when you hold it down, it brings up, like, a radial dial. And all your spells that you can have there on the right.
Well, that's in the PC one too.
Yeah,
it's all there. Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
there.
So you can, yeah, so you just hit all two, and you can just
hit
the A button on the Xbox, and you're automatically into meditate.
What Chris is saying is, like, when you're selecting stuff, it's really weird because the way you use, because I know you use, like, the D-pad, but then you have to use the analog to do something else. Like, when you're on the main,
right,
menu and you're selecting weapons, put them in the slots. I remember I was having a really hard time with that shit.
Yeah, it's
like,
how
do I get to that? I can
I'm
see
used
my
to,
bomb. How do I get to it?
I'm used to, like, bringing up the menu and, like, you go and you say, okay, I'm going to change this item. And
yes.
You go over to that item, you hit A or whatever, and it says, all right, now what do you want to change it to? No, it's not like that. You select the item, and then you hit left on the stick,
move it.
And it moves the cursor over, and it's just, it's all convoluted, and it seems
weird.
Like there's too many,
yeah,
steps. And I just think that the menu system in general, navigating
it
is,
I think
just,
I said that when I played it. I was like, I hate the interface.
Yeah, the interface is not good. It is not good, a good interface. I think that, but other than that, I mean, it's like, I like the idea of, you know, when you're pulling up that little, like, the radio menu that Travis was just talking about, it doesn't really stop the game. It just kind of slows it down.
Yeah.
I actually think that's kind of cool.
It's neat, yeah.
Yeah, because it's giving you an opportunity to change things around, so you can quickly, like, as far as, like, game time, quickly change spells and cast it. But it's not like you can sit there and wait forever. You know, it's like they're trying to, you know, I guess I want to say it, like, brings realism, but it's not that it's realism. It's just that it makes more sense with, like, the timing, because, you know, if I'm the Witcher, I'm gonna have any spell I want at my, you know, disposal,
yeah,
but, you know, I may have to, you know, think for half a second about which one I want to cast, and so that's kind of what it's doing. It's not, like, stopping the action. It's just slowing it down, because it's like, this is the time that the Witcher is processing which spell he's going to cast.
Yeah.
You choose the spell and you cast it.
And you don't lose your flow whatsoever. I like that.
Yeah, I think it works well. I thought the items were useful. You know, I thought that the one thing I will say is that they talk about like a crosshair, but I don't see one. Is there actually a crosshair?
Maybe if you're using mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, because I'm using the controller and I don't see one. And yeah, it's like if you hold down, what is it, R, the right bumper or something like that, mm-hmm. it's for items. So whatever item you have selected, he'll throw that item. And it's like, if you hold it down, you can aim it precisely. And it's like, I still don't know where this is going, you know?
Oh, I think you can still do that.
No, you
can't.
I can't
remember. It's been so long.
You could hold the button down
and
aim
it. But you just can't see
it. Yeah, but you really can't see what you're aiming. All you see is like this. There's a little spot that's a little brighter than everything else, and that's it. And sometimes it's hard to see that too. I'm not that far. I'm not past that first hour where it's just like teaching you everything.
Yeah, once after the first chapter or the second chapter, like around that area, like halfway through that, that's when it really gets its hooks in. You're like, okay, this now it's fucking on.
Yeah. The one thing I will say is, like, we were talking about, like, how, like, the settings that you're running it at. So, this game, it had, like, an NVIDIA advertisement. So,
yeah.
I'm assuming that it runs better on NVIDIA shit. I've got Radeon stuff, and
yeah, I have Radeon, too.
When I loaded the game up, it says, all right, well, we've automatically detected that you're at ultra settings. And I'm like, great, I'm at ultra settings. I load the game up, and...
Slow as hell.
Holy crap. It was like, There was input lag, and the frame rate was horrible, and I was like, what is this shit? And can I just say that I hate motion blur? I don't know if I'm the only one out there that hates it.
I like it in certain situations. I don't like it constantly.
I've never been a fan of that.
I like
it as an effect to something you're doing, you have control over. I don't like it when it's a constant.
Right. And in this game, it's kind of a constant. I could tell.
Yeah, it is a
big time. So I turned that. So I basically exited out of the game. I went to the video settings menu, and I turned off motion blur just because it annoys the shit out of me. And then I'm scrolling down, looking at all the different like processing options, and there's a ton of processing options. And there's one that says like Uber processing, and I'm like, really? That's what it's called? And I highlight over it.
Well, they are from. Or where are they from? Poland?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But I scrolled over it. It's like, this is very frame costly, and I'm like, Turn that shit off. And I loaded the game back up, and it was like, hey, look, 60 frames. So, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, as you guys said, it looks freaking fantastic. And it's, you know, it's especially great to be able to play it on my TV. And I you know, it's great. I'm enjoying it. I need, as I said, I'm only like an hour in, so I need to get farther. But I like how you're kind of manipulating a story that you're telling to someone in the very beginning.
In the beginning, yes.
I kind of like that. So you know,
I love that. Actually.
And there's actually like that, you know, you guys are talking about what you do with characters, and you get your first taste of that in that tutorial where you have the choice of basically to take out a bunch of guys or reason with them. And, you know, I like how they did that. I guess we'll see. I'm going to be playing a lot more in the coming weeks, but yeah, it's good stuff.
Cool.
All right, one more thing, and then I'm done.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Ermac. Fuck
like
yes.
The orange ninja from Mortal Kombat?
No.
Yeah, Ermac.
No, that's
Ermac.
I love Ermac. He's awesome.
No, Ermac is the independent game that was made. That's made by I'm forgetting the name. Carbon Games, I think it is, but it's basically it was what was inspired by Herzog's Vi back on the Genesis.
Oh, that one.
So it is the real time strategy where you're the plane that turns into a mech,
tank.
And you know it's a real time strategy where you control one unit at a time, and it's basically a lot of people call it like the birthplace of modern day RTS games, and so now it's in alpha. And it's free to play on the Chrome browser. So you install it straight to the Chrome browser and you play it from there. And it is fucking fantastic. I absolutely love it. It really grabs the like the feeling of the first game, but making really good advancements as well. So in the first game, you know, it was the same concept. You're the plane, and you know, you pick up the units, and you're taking over mini bases to increase the amount of money you get, so you can build units faster and that kind of thing. And this one, instead of only being able to queue up one unit at a time, like the Genesis version, you can queue up three, which is very helpful. Instead of only being able to shoot in one direction, they actually made it twin-stick shooter-like, where while you're flying your plane has thrusters that go in all directions, so you can fly backwards and shoot forwards, you know? So they did a lot of these little changes that make the game feel more modern, but they still have the feel of the source material, and I can't say how much I appreciate that. I think they're doing a fantastic job. Even in the alpha, it's like I ran into like one bug, and it was like, you know, I shot up towards the top of the screen, and I got stuck in the geometry, and I transformed, moved out of the way, transformed back, and I was fine.
You're fine.
So, you know, it's obviously coming around really well. I'm really interested to see where they're going to go with it. If it's going to be a game that gets like released on platforms for downloadable, as a downloadable game. But as it is on the Chrome browser, it runs awesome. And I'm not even playing it on my good computer. I was playing it on my shit computer that's got like a 4.5 year old shitty video card in it, and it's great. It's absolutely great. So you guys check out Air Mech. Even if you only play one round, you can play, I think they do, online versus. They've got online co-op where it's two against two and you're playing two AIs or two other people, or you can just play one-on-one and like one person against person or person against AI. Just go check it out. You can play one match in about 20 minutes and it's just fantastic. It's really cool. So go check it out.
Cool shit.
Yeah, that is it for me. So, Travis, you have anything else that you need to add on top of Witcher 3?
It was just Witcher for me. I was so involved in that game, I completely forgot about Trials Evolution until like Jeff said something yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, Trials is good shit, man. It's really good. I downloaded that.
Talk to us about it.
Yeah. You're up, dude.
It is basically like it makes Trials feel like a beta. Or like a testing ground, like to see. And Trials is, I think, the second or maybe the best selling Xbox Live arcade game ever. I know it's either one or two. It's up there. And this game is just it's more Trials, but it's more awesome. It's now multiplayer. So you're not just doing the leaderboard stuff. You can do any of the tracks. You can do multiplayer. I just played with one person, C-Sharp, last night, and when we're doing the regular tracks. You're not on the track at the same time. It's basically like you can see their ghost. But it was really cool because you can see their ghost. You can see when they're falling and we're talking on like Xbox Live. It's trash talking or whatever. Or you can do motocross events, which are four people at the same time and you're all on the same track. And those are really cool. Those are just like four people just going at it. Whoever gets to the finish line first wins. And it's hard to explain. Like they just added so much more to this game. Like there's... The levels now are so much more detailed, and now they're not just on a... Like, in Trials 1, or HD, it was just kind of like on a horizontal plane with 3D graphics. Now, you're still... You can't move, like, on an... You can only move, like, on the X and Y axis, basically. But this camera will shift, and your character will turn into areas, and it looks more like you're moving in 3D, even
though
you're not.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
It's hard to explain. You kind of have to see it. But it looks really, really cool. And there's so much more shit going on in the background. The environments are way more diverse and more complex than they were before.
Right.
But it's just, I don't know. They got other shit, like now, like it comes to the whole like editing tool thing. You can basically make levels. But it's also like Little Big Planet where you don't just have to make Trials levels around a motorcycle. You can make like a FPS if you want to, or like a side-scroller, or like a top-down shooter. And they demonstrate this in the game by like after every... you know how there's like easy, then there's like beginner, intermediate. After any of those is like in like a challenge map, which has nothing to do with riding a motorcycle, and they're pretty cool. The first one is like a Marble Madness type thing. You have to, or like a monkey ball. You have to like guide this ball around this like obstacle course and see how far you can get. Or one, you have to like launch yourself in the air, and you have like these two boards, wood boards, duct taped to your arms. You have to see how far you can fly with them. It's kind of ridiculous stuff, but it runs really well. It works really well online so far, as you can tell. There's not really any glitches or anything. They seem to tone down the difficulty just a little bit. What I mean is it seems like there's more levels now in each category, so it's not like the first one or HD where you play relatively, like, I don't know, like, I wouldn't say scot-free, like, that's super easy, but with not too much difficulty up to, like, medium, and then it gets kind of a little bit harder, then you hit hard, it gets ridiculously hard. It looks like there's more of a gradual bump up to that.
Right.
And so it's like you might, some casual gamers, some people who aren't really in with the really difficult stuff will have a chance at seeing some later levels that are designed really, really fucking well.
Cool.
Yeah, it's hard to really say, like, we played it for about a couple hours last night, mostly doing online stuff, just, like, messing around. But, yeah, I can't recommend it enough. I mean, $15, it blows the first one out of the water, and it's same price, and just so much more you can do. I wish I could go into more stuff about it right now, but I just didn't play enough of the single player to really see the differences there.
Yeah, no spoilers, please.
You will eventually upgrade to it to 450cc.
God damn it.
Ruined everything.
I really wanted that to be a surprise. But.
There is. I have to tell this one moment. This moment was fucking awesome, though, because like, in multiplayer, you have an option to bail, and when you bail, what it does, it launches your guy off the motorcycle. So if you don't finish the race, it'll count obviously as a fall. And that's how it works. It works kind of like Mario Kart. When you're playing online, you pick like a heat of like as any amount of races you want. You have like two races, you get a five races, six races, and it's a point system like Mario Kart. You can come in first, but each time you fall, you get -2 points. So whoever has the most points wins, then it carries over the next heat, and whoever wins, whoever has the most points of the entire thing wins. So I was playing again, I guess with Craig, the only person we're playing against, and he was in the lead coming down to the end, and I'm like, fuck it, I need to do something. So he's about to cross the finish line, and I went over a jump, and I hit the bail button, and it shot my guy off and just barely passed him, and I beat him by like less than a tenth of a second.
That's awesome.
First place in this. It was just like off this thing. I'm like, no, I hit the button, like, boom, my guy like flies off. I'm like, what up, motherfucker? And I was like, what? No, how do you not get an achievement for that?
I know,
like,
right?
Winning a race with that tactic should have been an achievement, but
what? I hear the end of race mandatory bails are a lot wackier and more funnier this time around too.
Oh yeah, sometimes you get skewered on stuff. It'll just like blow you up and throw. Like, yeah, I haven't seen like too many crazy ones, but. Yeah, especially multiplayer, some good ones. And, dude, there's some tracks that they've made, and there's already some good user-created tracks, but there's one that's something called the Megaton or Mega something. It's supposed to take 10 minutes to complete if you're relatively, like, if you know the map, and we played it, it took us half an hour to get through the entire thing. And this is a medium-level map, so it's not even that hard. There's a couple places where we'd get stuck on, but other than that, it took, like, yeah, it was, like, 25 minutes to get through this entire level. And it was ridiculous. And it wasn't a hard level. So I was like, it's not like us just like restart. It was just simply just how long the damn thing was.
Hmm.
It was pretty crazy. But yeah, it's a good fucking game. You guys should download the trial. Or download the game. It's freaking awesome. Phenomenal. I love it. Right. That's it. Besides Street Fighter Cross Tekken, which is a given.
Right, that's the new truth right now, right?
It is definitely the new truth.
A Jeff staple for Indus.
That's right. That might be... I was talking to Jason, and I was like, do you think we're going to go back to Street Fighter 4? And we're both like, yeah, maybe for nostalgia. So,
in a Mario 1 kind of way, yeah, we'll go back.
Cool, let's do some news then.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's hit that up quick.
So, I'm going to start out with sad news.
Hmm.
What's the next really big game that Jeff and I want?
Darksiders 2.
Darksiders 2.
What up in June?
What up, delayed till August?
Hey, I get it from my birthday.
No, are you actually serious?
Yes, I am serious. It's been delayed till August.
Yep. And it's specific. It's specifically, they said it's for, you know, working out the kinks, debugging
okay,
a little bit more.
Okay, I could take that. That's fine.
Clean it up.
They say early August, late August?
From June to August, they didn't say.
I thought it was like mid-August or something. I thought there was an actual date.
That's fine. You know what? That's drought time anyway. That's perfect time for that type of game. That's
it is a good time for that game to come out.
That's fine for me.
August seems kind of empty right now.
Apparently, one of the big theories is that they're pushing it back to make it closer to the Wii U launch. And if that's the case, that pisses me off. It's like,
I don't think that's true.
I hope not. Yeah. I really hope not. Because I want this game should come out when it's scheduled to come out. I mean, don't fucking back out for a system that's going to sell like 100,000. Nobody's going to want to fucking buy it. So
no, they wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, I hope not.
If they did, why wouldn't they have just... They would just do it when it launches. Because it would make no sense to do it. Just closer to.
Yeah, I mean, who knows when the Wii U is launching?
Yeah. It'll launch in the fall.
Yeah, well, August is fall. So, well, it's pretty close to fall anyway.
It's summer.
It's summer, yeah, but it's pretty close to fall. So,
yeah. It'll be like October, November for the console.
I think so too. We'll see though. I don't know. Who knows?
September maybe.
So there's this other series that Jeff and I really like that we kind of have already mentioned that we need a break from. That just announced a new game.
They did.
Yes, God of War Ascension has been announced. And yep. It is a prequel of the prequels, apparently. It's
I don't get it.
I'm not sure how I feel about this. I'm really not.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, sure.
I'll probably play it, but I don't know if it's going to be a day one buy for me.
It probably will be a day one buy for me. But
I really, really wanted this to be, you know, a PS4 launch game. And I know that was a long shot, and I knew that, you know, if it was, that they would have not hinted to an announcement right now. But that's what I was hoping. But regardless,
the trailer was just CG, and it didn't really show too much.
Yeah, it showed
Kratos mad
with chains.
Yep, with chains, saying he's mad, which I don't understand how his chains was pre the whole.
Yeah, I know that's what's confusing to me.
Right, I was actually hoping that this was going to be his Spartan story.
Yeah,
because that's what I am interested in at this point. It's like, all right, I saw him turn into a god. I saw him, you know, do all this, and so I want to know his Spartan story. You know, before he. You know, was indebted to the gods and got the chains attached and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Huh.
All right. The other one I'm only going to briefly mention, and the only reason I'm mentioning it is because I've talked about it on the show often enough that I feel like I should mention this one particular thing. PlayStation Suite was something that was announced by Sony a while back. Last January, they talked about it. The open beta for the SDK is finally available to the public. So anybody who is interested in programming, that may or may not be something you want to look at. I'm probably going to download it and check it out. But apparently, once it goes live, similar to like the to creating games on like the iPhone and the iOS devices, it's a $99 annual cost for the SDK. And I'm not sure how they're going to do like putting things on the PlayStation Store and the Android market and stuff like that. I'm not sure how they're going to do that yet. But the SDK is in beta and is available for download to the public right now. So that's pretty cool, I think. So,
cool beans.
But that's all the news I got. So you guys have anything else before we're done with that?
That is it.
I'm good.
All right, cool. Let's take a break.
All right.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk about gaming ruts, and then we'll do some new releases, possibly some listener email and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we will be right back.
All right, mic check. Check. 1, 2. All right, sweet. Yeah, we're set. Got my beer. Got my Doritos. Check my perks here. Yeah, sweet. I'm gonna kill me some terrorists. They ain't never gonna know what hit 'em. That's right, bitches. I'm coming for you. Get ready to reap the whirlwind. Game, set, match, motherfucker. Get ready. There's no stopping.
Hey, hon, can you help me carry in the groceries?
Son of a bitch. Every damn time.
GamersOnlyOlder.com. Because carrying the groceries is not an achievement.
Release the inner child.
Welcome to the Goo's VG Evo Network podcast affiliate.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
All right, so it's happened to all of us at one point or another, even though many of you didn't want to tell us about it.
Erectile dysfunction.
That's right.
Don't gotta beat around that bush.
We've all ended up in ruts where we didn't really feel like gaming. So we asked you guys, if you know, what caused your rut and what got you out of it. And we got a couple of emails. I'm a little disappointed that we didn't get more, but I'm going to pass it over to Travis and let him take that away.
All right. Sean Mercupido chimes in, says, I'm kind of in a gaming rut right now.
Oh.
I'm only working part-time after graduating college, so have a lot of free time on my hands, but I feel guilty playing games when I should be looking for a job, so I pretty much only game on the weekends. Also, my love of reading has been rekindled due to the Hunger Games, and I have been reading. I have been reading in pretty much every second of my free time. Being too broke to buy new games doesn't really help either. How will the rut end? Probably a great game will come out and it will end. I think we all need to take a break occasionally to appreciate the hobby a little bit more.
I agree with that.
I agree too. Oh, I didn't mention, I'm actually almost done with the last book of the Hunger Games. So,
yay.
It's pretty good. It's really good.
Cool.
But, yeah, all right. Looking for a job is definitely more important, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure. And that'll do it. I know when I started working, especially when I started working full-time, I did take a pretty big break from gaming. I wasn't playing as much as I used to at all. But that was just busyness. This was because I didn't want to. There's been two times that I've actually fallen out of or gotten into gaming ruts where I've literally just not played anything for a while. And that was between PlayStation 1 and Dreamcast. There was a time when I got my PS1, I was kind of like still into gaming quite a bit, not super crazy. And then when Dreamcast came out, that kind of rekindled it for a long time. I wouldn't say for a long time, for a while. Then PS2 and Xbox came out, and I kind of went through a rut then as well for a while, because I was kind of like in a denial, like, I don't want Sega to go down, I love my Dreamcast, but I don't want to buy a PS2 or an Xbox, so fuck it. And also, that's also when I started college, so there's a lot of other things on my plate besides gaming.
Yeah,
besides
that's a big one. School will do it.
Yeah, and then I think when this generation of consoles came out, that kind of rekindled it all over again, even more so than I've ever have been before, so... Those are my two big ruts that I can say there's an actual like reason and something that got me back into it.
Okay. Let's do the next email. We'll come back to that.
Yep.
All right, this one comes from Jeff Witted J. He says, "Guys, my gaming habits are strange. I won't lie. I've been somehow running on an uncontrollable set schedule for the past few years, and I rarely divert from it. And no matter what I try, it just happens that way. This includes primarily playing my 360 during the fall or winter seasons and playing my PS3 throughout the spring and the summer. In fact, as of last week, I have been playing my PS3 just like the flick of a switch. I have almost no interest in playing my 360 and want to do all my gaming on the PS3. This will eventually switch back, and I will hardly touch my PlayStation for another several months, and no matter what I do, I can't change it. Hence, The Witcher 2 will most likely sit unplayed for several months, regardless of how much I really want to play it. Fucked up, right? Now, to get to the topic on hand, like clockwork, this also includes two complete gaming droughts. The first will take place around late October to mid-September. Again, like a flick of a switch, I will lose all interest in doing any gaming, and all my free time will be focused on my...
When does that start?
October to mid-September.
Oh, mid-September.
October to September?
September to October, you mean.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. That's like a year and a month, basically.
That's what it sounded like.
I was going to say, it's probably...
Like, hey, it's an 11-month rut. All right.
Yeah, it's a big-ass rut. he says, again, like a flick of a switch, I will lose all interest in doing any gaming, and all my free time will be focused on my other passion, watching and writing about films nonstop.
Cool. All is better tomorrow, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. All free time I have, I will watch and write. And then around late September to early October, usually after my own Pound Vegas concludes, I will be kicked back into gaming gear and play like a fiend till around Christmas. Then throughout late December and lasting usually until early February, I will again drop gaming completely and watch the shit out of my beloved movies. January is my biggest movie watching month. This past January, didn't play any games at all, and wow. I watch 84 movies in
that
month.
Crap.
Wow.
Holy
and he says,
crap.
Yes, he does keep a log of them.
In a month?
In a month.
That's more than
that's almost
that's,
three
that's
movies
more
a month.
Than double a day. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Almost 3 days. That's almost three movies a day.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Guy likes movies.
No kidding.
Do you think?
Then, as February approaches, something will usually be released that reignites that spark. Last year, it was Dead Space 2. Which was a bit earlier, and this year was The Darkness 2. Once I bought and began that game this past February, I went back into full gaming mode where I sit as of this very moment. Of course, the PS3 Spring Summer Blitz has begun for the past week. That's what I've been playing and will most likely continue until late summer, early fall, when my next drought begins. Then it's back to the old 360. What the fuck, guys? I don't know.
I'm kind of like that too, though.
Yeah, it's I am
mine's
too,
a yearly thing though.
Yeah, mine's not necessarily yearly, but it's like I do go through phases where everything I play is on one system or the other. It's like right now.
No, you go through PS3, 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 Mass Effect game released, 360.
Well,
PS3,
that's
PS3, PS3, Mass
that's
Effect game released.
That's not true because I was playing my I haven't touched my PS3 in God knows how long. Cuz I had
probably March when did Mass Effect 3 come out?
What?
When did Mass Effect 3
come out? My PS3. I haven't. No, because I had Skyrim and
Skyrim,
and shit before
that. Yeah, that's true.
So I've been playing my 360 pretty much nonstop for the past like 6 months.
Right.
And it hasn't died yet.
But it hasn't died yet.
Has not died.
But it still sounds like a jet. But it still sounds like a jet engine.
That's right. Jeff with a J finishes up, says, I don't know what I just explained has been happening for the last 4 years or so, or when the PS3 games, or when the PS3 started having actual games to play, whichever came first. Oh, and if you're wondering where I'm managing to squeeze my Wii playing time in this fucked up schedule, the answer is really simple. I don't. Thanks with
I didn't
many,
know you had a Wii.
Thanks with many, no homo love, better tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thanks,
but,
Jeff.
But yeah, that's... Yeah, it's unusual, but it's common amongst us too.
Yeah, so. I mine's more of a, like a, I don't really go into seasonal thing. It's kind of like a yearly thing. It's usually because we had a good like 3 years where all the good PlayStation exclusives came out, and the next year was all the good Microsoft exclusives came out. Then it was again the next year was the opposite. That's usually what I like. So it's, mine's like usually the fall, like whenever there's like usually it's the Uncharted year, which I'm like totally like all of my PS3 for the fall months. And then I go into back to my 360 in like the summertime or like Summer of Arcade, or if I just want to, you know, play that fucking David Jaffe. That joke totally went nowhere.
The sirens.
I was trying to incorporate a joke with the sirens, but I fucking forgot the name of that. Calling all cars.
Oh, nice.
Man, missed opportunity. Can you get that guy to totally drive back around so you can do that?
Oh, I'm sure. Just give it 5 minutes, and
I'll just take off the mess.
There'll be another siren in a minute.
Yeah. But it's weird. Yeah, I kind of do the same shit. Like I just go through weird phases of systems. Like sometimes I'll just be like, I just don't feel like playing my 360 for, but I want to get like. Whatever game it is, I'll get it on PS3 and vice versa. It's really fucked up. I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it's just like, I don't know. I get what I get, and I get it for whatever system it seems to be better on, if it's a multi-platform, and that's what I play it on. But lately, it's been a lot of 360, and there have been a lot of times where it's been all PS3.
Yeah.
So, it's like the last PS3 game I played was Uncharted 3, and then before that, I don't remember, but...
Yeah. Or I'll go through a weird fucking drought where I just don't feel like playing big games. Like, just recently, like, if it wasn't Street Fighter Cross Tekken, I was playing something on Xbox Live or PSN.
Yeah.
Just because I just did not want
to... During the summer, I really kick into gear with indie games like, you know, the Summer of Arcade really helps out with that.
The summer doesn't really hold a whole lot of big titles anyway.
No.
So...
True, but that's a time when we usually... Because we always complain about, like... Because, well, we complain about everything. We complain that there's a drought.
Well, yeah,
we complain
it's
that
kind of our job.
There is no drought. We're kind of like, fuck, I wish there was a drought. And then there is a drought. We never really go back. Well, I'd say for the most part, we don't go back to the games we say we want to finish or beat. We end up playing new downloadable stuff or something along those lines. Like, Summer of Arcade, and I know PSN did something with it last year. I can't remember what they called it. But there's a lot of good shit in that time. And I just wasn't interested in buying, like, cons, like, actual, like, retail games. And I still think I'm kind of in one right now. Like, I really don't have, like, Mass Effect 3 would have been beaten for me in the first friggin' week easily if it was maybe released 4 months earlier or six months earlier.
Probably.
And same with Kingdoms of Amalur. But, just, I don't know. I just get in these moods for about a couple months, and all of a sudden something will happen, and it'll just click. Just be like, alright, I'm back in it again. I think it's just because, you know what, stress, I think, has a lot to do with me, too. If I'm stressed out at work and whatever with other stuff, just playing games isn't necessarily relaxing for me all the time, or it's just something I just don't feel like doing. I just feel like, you know what, I just feel like watching a movie or watching TV or just relaxing.
Right.
Definitely not playing Kid Icarus. Fuck that
game. Fuck that game. Yeah. There was a post on Destructoid today that says, Kid Icarus has been released on the 3DS, the good one, and it was talking about the 3D classic release of the old one.
Nice.
Cool. Well, you talked about your gaming ruts. What do you do in place of gaming in those times? What did you do?
Mostly me. I just watch TV or watch movies. I used to enjoy writing back in the day, but that kind of just fizzled away somehow. I just became too time consuming. To tell the truth, right now, just doing. I don't even want to say being more active. Just I don't know, getting out more, I guess. Just like to do anything.
Yeah.
Let's go to the fucking mall, or let's call up these people and go out for like lunch, or just like do something during the day, or go out like more so after in the evenings or whatever. I don't know. There's nothing really I can really say I actually do anything to replace it. It's just, I just need a break from it every now and then. I never fully take a break from it. That's, like, impossible. I can't do that. Like, I turn on my PS3 and my 360 every day, no matter what. It's just whether or not I hit that X or A button to select to play something. That's the difference.
Cool. Okay.
And that's just, yeah. What about you, Chris? I find myself going through my arcade games a lot when I don't feel like playing anything and just seeing what I haven't played in a long time. And I'll go through things where I'll play like a bunch of different games for like 10 minutes and then be like, all right, that's good enough.
Yeah.
It's weird. ADD.
Yeah. I had my first one.
And I smoke crack.
There you go.
Yeah.
I had my first one probably in high school and,
smoke crack. Light to moderate crack.
Yeah, light to moderate crack.
Yeah.
All right. As long as you don't go past moderate, you're okay.
Yeah. You're okay. Exactly. It's not a habit then.
Right. No. Exactly. But yeah, I had my first one in high school, probably shortly after.
Casual crack smoker. Sorry.
You got him talking about crack. It's over, Chris.
I know. Forget it. Thank you guys for listening. Should I continue?
Yes, you shall.
Okay, okay. You're not going to interrupt me with crack again, are you?
No, no.
Okay.
But he gave me a 5-spot for my next
for some crack.
Yeah. Drop a link in for his habit.
So yeah,
it's cheaper than gaming.
Jesus Christ!
Sorry. Go.
First one hit in high school. It was shortly after the Super NES came out. I ended up buying it and got a couple of games for it, and then it was just like, you know, I just kind of stopped playing a whole lot. I wasn't buying new games a lot. I had a job, so I had money to buy games. I just wasn't buying them. And I think what kicked me out of that was when I actually got to college, because it was like, it was closer to my senior year, and you know, senior year of high school, you've got other things to think about besides gaming. So,
yeah,
you know, applying to schools, getting ready for testing,
socializing,
that kind of thing,
girls,
socializing,
boobs.
Yeah, prom, you know, that kind of thing. So when I got to college and actually got the job at the game store, that's what got me out of it. And that's when I hit that spot where it's like, okay, now that I work here, I got a Sega CD and I'm buying all my Sega CD games. And that's where I just started growing my collection. The most recent one was shortly after the 360 was released because, you know, the original Xbox didn't get shit.
No.
At the tail end. No. And around that time,
Conker's Bad Fur Day. Come on.
Oh, okay.
Half-Life 2.
Around that time, PS2 wasn't getting much of shit any either.
I disagree with that.
Oh, really? Well,
God,
I mean, they had
War.
God of War 2 that came out at
God
that
of
time,
War 2,
but
yeah.
You know, that was one game that took me 10 hours to beat or whatever, and
yeah.
And then I'm back to, you know, not having anything to play, but so there was a good, cuz I didn't get the 360 until like over a year after it came out. So that that year was my rut. And that year is when I got into Magic the Gathering. And that's when I started.
That's what you started doing.
Yeah, so instead of buying games, I'm buying cards. And you know, I thank
up
God.
A different habit.
Thank God that I got back into gaming, cuz it's fucking cheaper.
It's cheaper, yeah.
Yeah.
That actually reminds me. I totally take that back. Like in high school, it was like it was a 16-bit era. Like elementary school, it was it was like 8-bit era, 16-bit era, which I never had a rut between going through any of those because, first of all, I couldn't afford any of my own stuff, so I just got games, you know, Christmas, birthday,
saved up
money, whatever. So I played the hell out of it. The Dreamcast thing was actually, that's right, I stopped playing it. I was starting college or whatever, and didn't play it until I figured out I was going to get laid off from my part-time job working at a tuxedo place, and then I worked right next door to an EB Games, and I went outside for smoke, and the manager was like, hey, you look kind of pissed off. And I was like, because me and my manager, we had this new manager at my job, and we just did not get along. And it turns out later, he laid me off for, like, it was pretty much illegal the way he did it, but I didn't know that at the time. But anyway, so I was like, yeah, I just found out I've got laid off, so I only have, like, 3 more days left here. I have no job. He's like, hey, you want to work here? I was like, all right. He's like, all right, well, let's come back and fill the forms. So I just filled out the forms, like no interview or nothing, because I would always go in there every once. So even though I wasn't like buying anything, because I was like, there's nothing new for Dreamcast, and I couldn't afford a PS2 or an Xbox at the time. And it's like, this is a good year after it was a couple weeks before Xbox Live release, so like a year after Xbox was,
Okay.
was launched. So went in there, signed everything, went back into my other job, and it was so tempted just to be like, hey, Marvin, that was the guy's fucking name, the manager. I was like, oh, like, fuck you, I'm out. Like, I don't care. I'm leaving you here by yourself for the next, like, 3 days. But I didn't. But getting back into EB kind of got me back into, like, kind of looking at what was coming out and everything. And I thought, like, okay, I'm gonna if I trade in my Dreamcast and all this stuff, my first paycheck should be around this much. And then I got myself a PS2. And then that's just bringing that home with, like, I think I brought it home with Devil May Cry. And
that's a good place to start.
It's Devil May Cry, SOCOM, the first one.
Yeah.
A network adapter, and what was that game? It was kind of like a hack and slash. It's kind of cartoony-esque, like the aesthetic. It was kind of like what kind of Torchlight looks like now.
Dark Cloud?
No. It was like an action, like a hack and slash type thing.
Was it Baldur's Gate or?
No, you're kind of like a barbarian type dude with a sword. Mark of Kree.
Oh, that game was cool, okay, man. Okay.
Mark of Kree, those are the games I had. And that just kind of put me right back into it again. And then I kind of fell out of one towards the tail end of the PS2 and the Xbox era before 360 was released. Because 360 just got it because it was the hype of, I'm actually going to buy a console on the day one, and that's never happened for me before. So that the hype of that got me. I find hype, as cliche as it is and how dumb it is, hype does a really good job with pulling me into getting interested in something.
Yeah.
And I know that's kind of stupid, but it does. It really does.
Oh, I'm gonna get to that in just a second. Yeah. So during my rut, I was playing a lot of Magic, and we actually had, like, every Sunday we actually had people
Magic
over.
Magic Nights.
We, had Magic Nights, and, you know, we had a great time with it in the time that I was in my rut, and I'm glad that...
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad it happened, and now God knows how many... You know, how much money I could sell all my cards for on eBay, but, what got me out of it was the hype of the Wii, of all things.
Okay.
So that's when it really started to hit. It was like, wow, you know, look at this. And
hindsight.
I started looking at, like, oh, new Zelda at launch. Oh man, it's going to be awesome. And I got the Wii on launch day and waited in line for 8 hours with my wonderful now wife, who was, quite content to sit out in the cold with me because she's awesome.
Is that when you realize when you play that you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to take the plunge and get a 360 or PS3.
No, it wasn't until several months after, actually. When did that come out? That came out in like...
It was pretty much exactly a year after 360 came out.
Yeah, and then I think I got... Well, no, it was about like a month or so later. I got like 5 games at launch and I beat Zelda... And, you know, played a bunch of the other games and that's what got me out of it. And it's like, all right, now I think I'm ready to, you know, get a 360.
That's a good time because you're a year into that. And
there was games for me to play that I could get for cheap. So it's like at that point, after that, I got the 360 in probably December sometime. And, I picked up things like Ridge Racer because I love Ridge Racer and I always have it. And like Cameo. And Lost Planet was out by then. And I think I got Gears 1 too at that point. But, you know, I was able to get a good selection of games for relatively cheap. It also helped that I knew someone who worked at EB Games, so I got his discount on him. After that, it was like, I mean, I haven't stopped gaming since. It's just been, you know, straight through since I got my 360 and my Wii. So, but, that was the last one. And, I don't know. I haven't gotten in another one yet, so we'll see what happens.
I've been quiet for the majority of this. And, the thing is, the reason why I'm so quiet is that I need a gaming rut. Like, that's what I want to do in my free time. I've always been like that. Like, I mean, I'll get into a thing where like, I'll read the entire Hunger Games trilogy, but I'll do that in like 3 or 4 days. You know? But I don't consider that a gaming rut or anything. Like, we used to have droughts like 3-4 years ago. Like there was still like the thought of a gaming drought because we kind of don't get too much of that because even though there are no like AAA titles, there's always some smaller title that we're real hype about. And I always want to tell myself I would like to be in a little bit of a gaming rut so I can have more time to do other stuff. I don't know. I never went through a situation where, like, a month I didn't play video games. It's always been my hobby of choice ever since I was a kid. It's like, this is what I want to do in my free time when all my responsibilities are taken care of. Or when I should be doing responsibilities and I'm
not doing it.
Right.
No, or not, yeah, not doing
it. I guess, yeah, I don't think I've ever, like, I've gone a couple months, but yeah, I guess you're, like, I'm kind of the same boat. Like, I've never, never played anything, but there was a good time where I just wasn't buying anything new or trying anything new. I just
like,
you know what?
And there's those times where there's like, okay, so I'm going to play this one game and you finish that one game and then you're done again. You know, it's.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of how that second one was for me. It's like, oh, you know, end of the PS3 or the PS2's life cycle, or really, I should say, it's not the end of the life cycle, but it's getting to the tail end where they're in the process of making all these PS3 games. God damn it, Jeff, stop fucking with your headset.
Sorry.
and it's like the really high quality games are coming slower, you know, so God of War comes out, you finish it and you're done, and then the next, you know, you wait another, you know, one, 2, 3 months, and then the next good game comes out and you play that, and, you know. So that's kind of what I ran into. It's not like there was a year of time where I didn't game. Yeah. It's just that the gaming
just
went.
Didn't game as much.
Yeah, like right now, it's like every chance I get, I'm gaming. You know, it's because I've got so many games that I want to play, and there's so little time to do it in. Haha, tagline. That, you know, that's what I do with my spare time. And it wasn't like that right in that limbo time when I didn't have a 360. So,
gotcha.
Yup.
It's normal.
It is.
I know people ask sometimes in forums like, "Hey, I just have no desire, no motivation to play games lately. Is that, you know, something normal?" I think it's totally normal.
I think it's totally normal, and I think it's healthy.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. I think it's take a break from it, do something else for a bit.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Yeah, that would be healthy.
Cool. Is that it then? Any last comments?
I'm good.
All right, cool. Let's do some new releases then.
All right.
All right, for the PS3, we are getting UEFA Euro 2012, which is soccer.
I'm guessing that's a foosball game.
It's soccer. It's a foosball. Yeah. It's a foosball. 360 and PS3 are getting Prototype 2.
That's next week? Shit.
Next week, yeah.
360 is also getting 360 is getting Euro 2012 as well. Also, there is a Bloodforge, which is XBLA, and Akai Katana Shin, which I don't know what that is, but it sounds
Mr. Nep, Ronak, and Peter all like, you don't know what that is?
Maybe.
It's got swords in it.
Is it an RPG? I mean, it's...
Actually, maybe not P might not know, but I know Mr. Nep probably have something to say. But
oh, is that a shmup?
Is it a shmup?
It kind of looks like a shmup.
Are there bullets and a small plane?
Yes.
Do the bullets outnumber the small plane by about 1,000 to 1?
It's not a small plane, it's a small person flying around.
Either way?
Yeah, it looks like a shmup. Wow, that's pretty cool.
That sounds
like
a shmup.
It actually looks really neat. So if you're into shmups, there you go. Let's see, the Wii is getting El Chavo.
Who cares?
Who cares? And 3DS is getting Shifting World. And that is your new release list. I do not have the PSN release for next week. I don't know what it is.
If there is one.
I'll see if I can find it while you guys are doing Pick of the Week!
Actually, the PSN list next week, and I believe also for the 360, is The Walking Dead. The episode 1 of The Walking Dead video game. Yep, that's next week.
Is
that's my Pick of the Week, by the way. Because that game is looking good.
I don't know. I have to see reviews and look more on the game.
Sure.
Just because they fucking shat the bed with Jurassic Park so bad.
Yeah, they did.
They did.
But
they did. It looks like they're really, really doing this game right. I've seen quite a bit of gameplay, and it's tense. It looks really fun. So that's definitely what I'm picking up next week.
I probably personally will not pick up anything next week. I have too much stuff going right now. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Play some of those trials and those downloads. I don't mean trials like the game. I mean, you should play trials, but download some trials and demos of some of those games coming out and make a choice, make a decision. And Prototype 2 is supposed to be pretty good.
It's getting good reviews.
It's supposed to be better than the first one, that's for sure.
That doesn't say much, really, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have one.
All right.
I don't really have one. I mean, I guess... I'm curious about this XBLA game, the...
Bloodforge. I haven't seen much on it. I've seen it. They advertise it a lot on the Xbox Live, like Marketplace, but I haven't really gone out of my way to look up videos or anything on it. But if it's part of the whole, their whole thing they're doing now, what is it? Is this House Party? Which one is this now? Trials is the first one
House Party. I think that's
right.
Is
it House Party?
Yeah, because Summer of Arcade is the other one.
Yeah, Summer of Arcade. There's like four of them now. There's like pretty much one a season, but this one is, it's part of that. So it usually says it's pretty decent quality based on someone's standards, so who knows?
Based on someone's standards.
Yeah.
Some guy sitting behind a desk.
Well, Well, and not too many games make these things that are terrible, right? So, that are bad. Except for Ninja Turtles. Turtles in Time remake.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah.
But I probably wouldn't pick that anyway.
Cool.
Moving on.
Let's move on. Cool. Well, Travis, do we have any emails?
Nope.
No emails.
That's what I said.
All right, cool. Well, I got one voicemail, so let's do that.
Hey, Indus, it's your pal, Nabashin.
What's up?
Yo.
Just making a little clarification from last week's voicemail, where apparently I made a bet about Jeff playing Kingdom Hearts without using Indus Cosby. That was pretty much the same something from a year ago. It was just like a little inside joke thing I was just trying to make to be funny. And I didn't really mean it. So, yeah, I'm sorry. No Indus Cosby and
stuff. I'm backing out.
I'll be there, but I don't think I'll be Indus Cosby. And for anybody thinking that I'm not doing this bet because I have no confidence in Jeff, like, actually beating a game that's, like, 10 years old and, you know, actually taking the time to play it, then, God, by gum, that's poppycock. That's a load of poppycock.
Poppycock.
You know, when Jeffrey Lorraine Chorney makes a sweeping declaration on Indus that he's going to beat a game, by gum, he does it, and he does it swiftly and efficiently. You know, certain games like Catherine,
Witcher 2, Skyrim, he's gotcha.
Final Fantasy 13.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
You know, games like that. Yeah. Hey, I got you that Ratchet and Clank game like 2 years ago.
I do.
That. Yeah. It's a great game.
I'm about halfway through that.
Cool big move to, like, trade it in, jumping out.
No, I still have it. I still have it.
Totally joking.
Hey, didn't you give that to me?
Yeah, I was really trying to confess. I mean, if he beat the game before, then I know I'd be, like, obligated to do it, but that's not going to happen. Because he's too busy playing his third playthrough of Mass Effect 3, right?
No, he's too busy playing Street Fighter Tekken.
Or is that Jeff? Yep. Or is that Travis? I don't know. White people confuse me. Well, that just got racist. Okay, I don't know.
It's okay, white people confuse me, too.
White people confuse me, too. Thank you, Nabashin, for your voicemail. cool. Well, I guess no Indus Cosby, but he did call your ass out. That was pretty good.
Wow.
Oh, shit. Do we have any Indus questions?
We do. But
and this is where Jeff stalls for time.
Yeah.
How about we just move on until next week?
I was going to say, I'm trying to think, like, we definitely have some. Well, one of them's topical, so we got to go to the topical one.
Got
to
go topical.
We'll go to the topical one first, because it is actually from Navishin as well. He says, since the new God of War game just got leaked, how do you think Kratos will get out of hell for the billionth time? Hades. Probably the same way he did in everything, screaming and yelling and ghosting his way back up there. I really hope they don't go back to that. I really hope, I know you asked this question a couple weeks ago about the whole, what will take you to get back into a God of War game. Number one is, looking back on all three of them, they really did have a formula. Like, he goes to Hades in every single one, and you're fighting your way out of it or doing whatever. They need to stop that. I hope it's in a totally different area of that universe. That's kind of what I hope.
Yeah, as I said, I really want it to be like Kratos as a Spartan. I want his Spartan story. Exactly. I already got his God story. I don't need any more of that. Give me his Spartan story.
We only have two more from Jack Bauer, so we might as well hit them up. They're quick ones. Would you rather be the perfect temperature all the time, or always be clean so you don't need to shower?
Always be clean.
I would rather be the perfect temperature all the time.
Same here.
Because I don't mind taking showers.
I like showers are refreshing.
Showers are awesome. Sometimes.
Yeah.
I like to always be clean.
Yeah.
I'm only saying that because my feet really stink right now.
Thanks for that, Travis.
They're pretty bad.
Working day today?
Yeah. And my dress shoes, too, so they get really...
That'll do it.
They get
that'll
steamy. They can't breathe in leather.
No. Is that a question?
The hot stink of Travis Bob's shoes.
That hot-ass stank.
Gross. Office feet. It's terrible. Never had it until I started working in an office and then get office feet.
You just take your shoes off when you get to work, man.
That's a good idea. I should start doing that. But I'm always afraid by the time I get there and I'm there for like an hour, it's already kicked in. I'm like, man, everyone's going to be like, what is that stench? But then again, I could do going around like noontime. I could blame it on someone's lunch or something. Maybe. Dark Bauer says, favorite Metal Gear Solid villain, regardless of the quality of the boss fight?
Mm. Always a big fan of Solidus, but man, dude, Liquid Snake. I gotta go with the Given.
You going Liquid Snake?
I gotta go Liquid Snake.
I think I'm gonna go Vamp. Vamp's pretty badass.
Vamp's awesome, yeah.
I can't remember his name. Anyway.
Which one?
Revolver, Ocelot?
No, the Ninja.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
Is he actually... I was gonna pick him, but is he actually a villain,
though? Yeah, it's kind of borderline.
Yeah,
he's not really a villain. Like, he...
Yeah, because it's... He ends up helping you, so...
Yeah, and he was never really against you in the first place, per se.
I always did like Fat Man from...
The guy in roller skates?
Yeah, he was kind of crazy.
He was crazy.
Yeah.
I would say Vamp or the chick in number two with the lightning and all that kind of stuff. Can't remember her name. She had a really cool name. What the hell was her name?
Shit, what was her name?
It was it was a really cool, like, Vanquish. Or not Vanquish, it was like... what the hell?
She can never die. That was her thing.
Yeah, that was
Fortune.
Yeah. It was a play on
Fortune.
That. That's her name.
She was lucky. Because she
lucky,
never
lucky. Yeah. Horseshoe up ass.
If I can't pick the ninja, I gotta go with Psycho Mantis, man.
Yeah. Psycho Mantis is
a good
one.
He's pretty cool.
He's okay, I guess.
He's not bad.
Yeah, he doesn't suck.
What the hell is her name?
Is that it?
Yeah, that's all. That's all of them. I'm looking it up while you do the wrap up stuff here. I need to find out what this girl's name was. It's like Vanguard.
No, it's Fortune.
Fortune. That's
it.
Fortune. Yes. Did you? I didn't hear you.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that either. You're not the only one.
Yeah, I totally didn't hear you.
He's making shit up now. All right. Cool. You guys want to do question of the week then?
Yeah.
Sure. Hey guys, Travis here. Sorry the episode is a couple of days late. What can we say? We couldn't think of a question of the week! So, after 227, we are officially stumped, so we're not really too sure what to do. But after a couple of days of deliberating, most of the guys are going to be discussing video game retail experiences, good and bad, the pros and cons of it and everything. So, go ahead and put that down on paper or in audio form and send it right to us. We'd really, really appreciate that. But we will be recording on Friday. It'll most likely be Jeff, Chris, and Glenn, as for I cannot really talk about that subject or I would lose my job, literally. So, you guys have a good day. Thank you.
All right, to answer the question of the week, send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
It is not leet, it is
Smelly.
My stinky feet.
Oh, okay. I tried to do what Jeff
Smell
did. It didn't work as well.
Yeah, when he throws in stinky anyway. It's my smelly stinky feet. It's like it was an edited job.
Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
That is G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff.
Facebook, Steam, and Google+. We are Interactive Distractions. You can look us up. Search for us that way, and you will find us. Come by Retroids and join our wonderful gaming community. You will find a wealth of other podcasts on the network, as well as some really cool people to talk to and just chat about gaming. And, you know, there's a shout box that you can waste time into. It's great.
Yep.
And that is all I've got. You guys have anything else for a wrap up?
What I got? No, we're not going down again.
Nope,
I'm good.
Yeah, let's not do that again.
Yeah, no. It was just, you know, knee-jerk reaction to say that when it happens.
Cool. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you are on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review.
5 stars.
So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And you guys are going to kill me.
Why is that?
Oh, never mind. No, we're good. Never mind, we're good.
What was that about?
I'll explain after. I thought I clicked on Audacity and all of a sudden I saw nothing moving and I was like, oh my god, did I hit record at the beginning of the last segment? But no, I did. I just opened up another window by accident. So. Oh, wow.
And that's Jeff.
And that's Jeff.
And I'm Jeff.
Smoke some crack.
Smoke some crack. And we'll talk to you next week.
Crack kills kids and fucks up podcasts.